Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Romance. I'm your host, Tricia Harley McCarthy, a platform for writers, authors, and poets alike who love everything about romance just like I do. Today's special guest is Callie Brixton. She just came out with a new book, To Have, and I just saw the cover reveal on Instagram and it looks wonderful. So let's get into our interview with Callie and find out her journey as a new author and about her book. Enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to All About Romance. I'm Tricia Harley McCarthy, as I said in the intro, and I just have a few announcements. I just wanted to let everyone know that I have a book in an anthology collection called Under the Mistletoe, and it's on Amazon just for a short time. I'm included with many wonderful authors like Melanie James, best-selling New York Times author. My friend ML Broom has her book in there, and it goes to a wonderful cause for epilepsy. So all the proceeds go to charity. And my new romance novel, sports romance novel, On Ice, is available on Amazon for pre-order. It goes live on December 31st. So I just wanted to let you all know about that. And today's wonderful guest is Callie Brixton. And I'm going to bring her on air. We're going to talk to her about her new book.
Hi, guys. How's everyone doing this evening?
Oh, well, the one of us is good so far. The dog looks good. She's fine. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
Well, I'm glad. That's very nice. You gave me a boost today. This is what I was looking forward to. I was looking forward to having a great show and just, you know, chatting with you and lifting the mood and trying to get into the holiday spirit. How are you? How's your holiday spirit so far?
Thank you. It's been waning a little bit, like we were just talking about a minute ago. I think it's just been super. It's for me personally, my favorite 3 months of the year are October through December. I love the whole holiday season, but it just seems like this year has been exceptionally busy. So I haven't really got to enjoy, as the Grinch would say, the holiday hooby-wotty as much as I normally do. But I'm hoping after book release and everything, I kind of can settle back into my Cindy Lou Who self a little bit more.
Yes. You know, in fact, I was thinking, how releasing a book, because I'm in the middle of that too, releasing a book is so much work. I don't think anyone realizes how much work it is, especially to do the groundwork, the marketing, the networking, if you're doing an ARC, which is advanced reader copies, and, you know, the whole schmear in the formatting and the editing. Oh, my goodness. There is so much that goes into that, and it's very time-consuming. And on top of that, you know, doing everything yourself, a lot of indie authors do everything themselves, it takes up a lot of time. So I totally understand where you're coming from. And it'll be over. It's like having childbirth, I guess, you know. It's very painful to process what's happened. It's just, oh, I'm so happy, you know. When does your book go live?
It actually goes live next Friday, the 13th.
Okay.
That's part of why December is so meaningful to me. That is actually not my husband's anniversary. And
aww.
I was going to launch it a couple of months. I'm just cheesy like that, I guess. But I was going to launch it. Well, thank you. I was going to launch it earlier, and it just wasn't ready. And there was a lot of things that I've tweaked here recently that I'm glad that I didn't release it ahead of time, because I feel like it made for a better product, at least I hope, in everybody's mind.
Right.
But that's, you know, when we began our story as a married couple, and I'm very blessed to have a very wonderful man. So I felt like it was probably the best time to launch my career as an author, you know, with it starting on our actual anniversary, since that's when our love story truly began.
That's lovely. And I like it that it's on Friday the 13th. And a lot of authors I know release on Tuesdays because that's when the New York Times bestseller list comes out, and a lot of others And but I was talking to Maria Lewis. I don't know if you know of her. She's a great author.
Yeah.
And she was talking about starting to release books on Thursday and Friday because the market is saturated on Tuesday. So I thought that was really interesting. So I think that's a smart move on your part. I think that's cool.
Well, thank you. I'm hoping it will prove to be really good. And it's right before the weekend, which is when most people, of course, have more time to read.
Right.
And I could read all day, every day. I wish I could get paid to read all day, every day, and to write now as well. But it just seems like, I don't know, it's just sort of the stars aligning, I guess you could say. So I hope it'll prove to be a well-received book.
Oh, and okay, so tell us the premise of the book and what inspired it.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and give a few little deets about it. There's multiple things going on in this particular one. It is a second chance romance, brother's best friend. You have a very broken alpha who has a tragic backstory, and our heroine is precious, and I love her, and she is dealing with her own things that they both, of course, will have to face within the book. And I am just totally in love with this family that is at the center of this novel, and they will actually, I've got it planned out. There will be four books in the original series. There will be a spinoff, including some of the characters that we will meet within the series, some even in the first book. And there's actually a continuation series in the works, too. So lots of irons in the fire as far as it goes. So the premise of it, we have Deacon Devereaux, who is the best friend to Charlotte Kaysen's brother, Aiden, and they meet when they are very, very young, and he is immediately smitten with her, of course, because she's awesome. So it ends up, of course, he has to love her from afar because he makes a promise to her brother that, of course, you know, sister is off limits, as many other brothers' best friend romances to deal with, because the brothers cannot handle it. There is quite a bit of tragedy that is explored within this book, and it ties in with Deacon keeping his distance from Charlotte. Well, unbeknownst to him, of course, Charlotte returns his affections, but you know how these romance novels go. You know, if it all worked out perfectly, we wouldn't be reading them. So they are going to have, that's what makes them fun. We got to figure out how do we get from point A to point B into that happy ending. And I am the consummate HEA chaser. I fell in love with Cinderella growing up. She's my very favorite princess. And I've always loved the idea, The Wizard of Oz is my other favorite movie. And I've always loved, you know, just cheering for the underdog and cheering for that happy ending for those characters, and, you know, loving to revel in their happiness at the end. So that's definitely going to be, if you are a person who loves to read HEA type books, I promise you we will get there. It's going to be a rocky, bumpy road on the way there, but we'll get there.
So it sounds like it's very angsty, because that's my favorite, I don't even know if you call that a trope, but that's my favorite type of story is angst, because I think any relationship is complicated. It's not like just black and white. It's grays, and, you know, it's all shades, and it's and that's what I love. I love the complexities of a relationship and writing about them and what's in another person's mind and how the characters are going to respond. I think is that what you are kind of gearing towards as far as this book goes? Angsty?
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
Angst in all the best ways, because I know there are some angst. There's certain things that I, as a romance reader, do not enjoy that are sort of termed as angst now. I'm not going down that road. I just can't. My heart can't handle it. But there is going to be a lot of angst as far as what these characters are going to have to deal with, and just the separation itself is going to hurt your heart. But I like to term it as contemporary romance with a dark edge. Not quite dark romance. It's not quite completely contemporary. It's somewhere that's very uniquely in between.
Well, that's that's my perfect story, because that's my that's what I like to write, you know. And and so to make it the best author you could possibly be, you write what you love, and that's angst for me. So that sounds so good. And you know, I've been in such a reading slump lately. I don't know what it is, but I just haven't been reading as much as I normally do. I can devour books in weeks, but you know, for some reason, I don't know about you, but maybe it's the holiday season, maybe it's just the hectic season, whatever you want to call it. It's just, I haven't been reading as much. I've started like 3 books, and I need to finish them and do the review. So
I completely understand. That's something I see very commonly on some of the blogger groups, because I am also, I've been a book blogger for over a year now, and that's something I've been seeing a lot of people saying, that they're sort of in a slump, because you're kind of, your brain and your heart sometimes are at war with each other, where it's, you know, the season of perpetual hope. But sometimes we like those stories that delve into the darkest parts of humanity too, and it's hard to strike that balance every single time we read. So I feel you on the slump.
Right. And I agree with you on, there's certain things that I don't like reading, because to me it takes me to a place, you know, and there are triggers for people in stories that, you know, authors do disclaim that, you know, at the onset of the book, that, you know, if you're a person who's been abused, or, you know, you have to be careful, you know, reading some of these things, because it can set off a lot of emotional events in your life, you know, or bring back painful memories, whatever it may be. And those triggers are real powerful if we're not careful what we're reading.
Yes, I completely agree as a reader and a writer. And I'm very big on that, because I will go ahead and warn everybody, the series does get a bit darker as we go. There are a lot of trigger type things that are going to be dealt with, just because that's real life. You know what I mean? There are so many dark parts of life. However, right. I do think it's our responsibility as authors to disclose that to our readers, because I would never want someone to come back and be like, you know, I really wanted to read this book, but, and I didn't realize that it was going to be dealing with this particular topic, and it's completely soured my view of you. And I just feel like, you know, that's such a big responsibility on an author to know, you know, to kind of anticipate. And part of it, I guess, is just because where I'm a teacher, a high school English teacher, there's so many things that people go through that nobody ever knows goes on behind closed doors, and you just never know how it's going to affect one person to the other.
Right. And I think that's an important point you bring up, is being responsible, because I was at a takeover event for an author who they did an anthology for suicide prevention, which, you know, that's, mental health is such a big topic these days, and it's getting a lot of exposure, which it should, to help others, you know. So on the other hand, you know, you've got these authors who are really trying to address that type of, you know, real life situation, and doing it in a romance novel, which I think is fantastic. And
I agree.
Bringing awareness to a lot of and I notice a lot of authors are starting to kind of branch out into specific areas, you know, about people who have different disabilities or mental challenges, or, you know, whatever the situation may be. And I applaud them for, you know, going outside the, you know, cookie cutter scope of romance, if you will, contemporary romance, and addressing those issues. Because a lot of them have their own issues. You know, we all do. We all have mental issues. And, to some degree, and I'm thinking of actually doing a show about writers and mental health, just a special show about that, just because as a life coach, you know, that's important to me, and then as a writer, you know, it kind of affects your writing and what you write about.
Oh, I completely agree 100%. Oh, gosh, I totally, completely agree with you. I went through, to kind of do some backstory, I went through breast cancer about 6 years ago when I was 29, and I dealt with a lot of things because my husband and I, before I found out that I had breast cancer, we were actually trying for a family. We had put it off for a while. And, you know, we had finally got to the point we were like, okay, we're ready. And that's something my grand ambitions in life were to be a wife and a mother. I'm a teacher. I do love my job. But, you know, I couldn't think of anything that would fulfill my life more than being, you know, someone's wife and someone's mom. And I know that's very romantic in itself, but like just romanticized. But it's, you know, just those simple things of life are really what matter the most. You know, when you are on your deathbed, you know, people are not going to say, I wish I worked more. It's going to be, I wish I would have spent more time with my family or doing things that made me happy. And so we ended up, we found out I had breast cancer, and I actually have a lot of other health problems. I have, I don't know if you all have ever, if you've ever heard of Hashimoto's. It's an autoimmune disease where, so like my thyroid, of course, never has worked correctly, and that can deal, deal out some problems with your hormones. Well, I also have polycystic ovarian syndrome. So I knew that fertility was going to be an uphill battle for us. But then of course we got thrown the breast cancer curveball. And I was basically told by my oncologist, the medicine we're going to have to put you on, you're going to have to be on until you're 40, and you are not going to be able to have kids. And I kind of knew that it was going to be hard, but having to face that, I had to deal with a lot of depression and anxiety to the point I even had to take some time off of work from it or for it. And in America, I see that that's largely a thing that America does not want to deal with because it's not an easy issue problem, is mental health issues. And I'm sure as a life coach, you get this all the time that people come in embarrassed to talk about things that are so, so normal and so many people struggle with, but they're so embarrassed because of the stigma attached with it. But I just, and even like going through grief myself, you know, grieving the loss of, you know, possibly having a family, you know, there's always adoption, things like that. But it's just one of those things that you have to grieve it through. And I remember my husband one morning when I finally realized I needed help. I try to be a positive person. I'm an ENFP. If you've ever taken the Myers-Briggs test, we're like the, you know, puke, sunshine, rainbows, and unicorns everywhere. people. And we love happiness. And I remember waking up so crystal clear one morning and thinking, I just wish I wouldn't have woke up at all. And I just looked at him and I started crying and I said, there is something wrong with me. And that's when I first started to admit to myself, I need to get some help. And because of that, you know, dealing with the depression, I came into reading romance, which gave me all the feels because I was cheering for all these people happy, you know, these people's happy endings who weren't even real, but it was real to me. And, you know, I just, and then of course I got more into the writing. All these ideas have been bouncing around my head forever. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to start writing my own, you know, and that was something, I think that that is such a good idea for a show because everybody's dealing with something to some degree. And there's so many people who, they just feel so alone and so ostracized when really there's so many people sitting in the same room with them who are dealing with the exact same type of problem. My hat's off to you because that's something a lot of authors are so introverted and they carry that pain privately. And I think that that is an amazing idea.
Recently I was diagnosed with depression, low-grade depression and anxiety, and it was as a result of insomnia, I guess, and I've probably had it my whole life, according to my doctor, which kind of shocked me, and basically, you know, and part of that is a result of emotional abuse when I was a kid, so unfortunately, you know, it rewires your brain, you know, because as a kid, you don't know how to cope. You know, you don't have no coping skills as a kid. You don't have any training, so you do the best that you can. And I became very shy and introverted, like you were saying. In my later years, I'm not as introverted or shy, but I can be at times. But, you know, mental health and having a healthy relationship at some point in your life is really tough. Because you're still stigmatized by what happened years before, you know, and it's a scar that's going to stay with you. And I can't firmly believe that everything's going to heal. I really don't. I think you can get to a point where you can manage it. But I don't think you'll ever truly heal in the sense that it's going to go away because it makes you who you are today. You know, it's not, it could be smoke and mirrors, a lot of it. Healing is, I think, being happy despite it, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I teach freshmen for the most part, and they're kind of at that age group where all those things, like you were talking about growing up as a kid, if they're not taught coping skills, they manifest themselves in very weird and odd ways sometimes as a freshman because they're starting to come into their own identity.
Right.
So it's like you really have to decide, you know, how am I going to overcome this? And also they're at that age that, you know, that's some of our most vulnerable ages in life is middle school into freshman year because, you know, you're insecure about everything that your body is doing and all this other stuff. And, you know, there's insecurities I carry within myself because of things that happened when I was younger. I've had body issues and, you know, just all of these, you know, like ugly duckling syndrome, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But it's you know, so,
I'm laughing because that's just like me. That's how I felt growing up. You know, exactly. I totally relate to what you're saying. So I didn't mean to cut you off. I apologize.
No, not at all. I mean, it's just so good to know that you have people out there who understand you and know, you know, where your heart is, you know, with that, because so many people take the mentality that it's like, well, I just need to suck it up and get over it. And any type of, you know, mental health issue or any type of like insecurity you have, it's not that simple. And like you said, with healing sometimes is not this one size fits all solution for everybody. And some people bounce back a lot faster than other people. And, you know, just like you said, sometimes healing, it comes in spite of, you know, despite what you're going through, because with depression, some days you will be, you know, have a really, really good day, and then you'll go months, have good days, and then you hit a wall. And, you know, it's just one of those things that when you hit that wall, as you know, it's really hard to break through it sometimes, you know, until you hit that stride again.
Yeah, and I think you're right about, especially younger girls with their self-esteem issues, that is critical. And, you know, I write a lot of characters that have similarities to my life, not necessarily my life, but, you know, I've got a book I'm writing now called Taboo, and it's about a woman who has tried to get pregnant. She can't. She's tried everything, fertility clinics, the whole nine yards, and it breaks her marriage apart. And I've, you know, that's a real event that happens with people. That sorrow, that grief, like you were talking about, can really pull people apart or bring them together, and it pulled her marriage apart. And of course, the day he leaves, she finds out she's pregnant. So it's the irony of life too.
Yes, absolutely.
So all of that is, you know, part of that. And my characters are very angsty and they're very complicated and they have issues, you know, they have a lot of grief and pain and, you know, and they kind of overcome it during the storyline. And that's always the way that hopefully we can always overcome it at some point. It's not going to last forever. You know, we're not going to be in that one place. But at the same time, you have to acknowledge where you are to get forward. You know, if you don't acknowledge it, you're always going to be dragging it around with you. So I feel it's healthy to go through pain, honestly. And I embrace it because that means you're dealing with it and not denying it. And a lot of people deny the pain. They'd rather just be quiet about it. And that's not healthy at all.
No, that's where your darkest demons come from, is you being in your brain so much by yourself. And that's something Edgar Allan Poe is my very favorite author of all time. And he just really showed that there is beauty in brokenness, that we can be so human that'd be so interesting as well. And that, you know, even though you may never fully heal, there, it's just like a mosaic. You know, you take a beautiful piece of glass and you break it apart, but with those little shards, those little sharp edges that everybody thinks are so ugly, you can make the most beautiful creation. And I love that, you know, that we can all be imperfect and still be amazing.
Absolutely. And, you know, a friend of mine who he gets mad when people say they're broken. He goes, "You're not broken. You're perfect the way you are." And I kind of agree with that. Does that mm-hmm. resonate? Yeah.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So, yeah, because you could be broken, but I think you're always where you're supposed to be. You know, I just think the universe just gives you that experience, and you're exactly where you're supposed to be, even though it feels very uncomfortable, or it's not something you're, you know, if you're in fear or whatever it is that's going on with you. So I always kind of look at that and go, yeah, I think that's right. You know, we're all beautiful the way we are, you know, we're enough. You don't have to be any more than what you are at this moment, whether it's angry, fearful, happy, sad, mad, crying, whatever, you know, all the gamut of emotions. So crazy like me.
This is why we're friends.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So not to take us off topic, but tell us where we can get your book so everyone will hear and know where to get your book.
Okay, it will actually be on Amazon. I'm going to put it in KU.
Okay.
As a new author, I just felt like that was the best place. I'm going to wait on Wide, but I've met so many authors that I really enjoy through KU, and it sort of feels like home. I'm a KU reader, of course.
Yeah,
and
I am,
you know,
too.
Is it not wonderful? I love the whole idea of it.
Yes, it is. It's great. And that's have you put the links out there yet? It's not on pre-order yet. Is it?
It is not. No, it will be here very, very soon. So
okay.
We've had some
kinks. I just
want to
make
sure.
I'm not telling people, you know, go out and get it.
Yes.
It's not
yes.
there yet. So that's great. We have a couple minutes left. So is there anything else you'd care to share about your experience or a piece of advice? Or
well, I will go ahead and kind of give a plug for my Loop
sure.
family. Of course, this is how, you know, you and I met, and how so many people that I'm on Instagram, you know, friends with, that's how we came into each other's lives.
Right.
One of the best things people can do is realize, number one, you are not going to please every single person. Jesus Christ was perfect, and there were people who hated his guts. And you have people who other people absolutely adore, and they will always have, no matter how wonderful they are, you will always have someone that wants to step back and hate on you. And that is just something that you have to find your tribe to remind you, hey, this group over here is not my people, but this group on the other side, they're totally mine. And that's Lawrence Hall, who kind of started up our Loop fam. I have to give so many props to him. One, because I just love him dearly. And two, because he helped bring so many amazing people into my life I would have not met otherwise. And I do believe in many ways it's divine intervention, because I told my husband, I said, you know, even though I can get along with pretty much anyone and try to, there's always those people that just, they resonate with you because you get each other.
Right.
And I love that even though there are some people that we're in completely different time zones, they're halfway around the world, I can count them as friends. And I love that social media has brought that good part into my life. So if anything, you know, whatever is your thing in life, find your tribe so you can kind of geek out and fangirl together, because it just brings so much bliss and joy into your life to find that.
Oh, I love that.
You know, well, thank you.
Yeah. I just want to interject real quickly before the show ends that my guest host will be Nicole Rodriguez next week. And thank you, Kelly, for joining us today and bringing awareness to a very personal topic. And thank you again for being with us. And thank you for sharing your insights. It was a great show, and it really helped up listening today. So I appreciate that and appreciate you for who you are, and thank you for all your support. You've been fantastic in my life.
Thank you. Well, thank you, and I return those affections. And I'm so excited Nicole's coming around next week. I love her. She is one of the very first people. And she's one of the very first people to ever reach out to me as a book blogger. And it meant so much. And I adore her, absolutely adore her. And if anyone's listening right now, you definitely want to tune in for her. Like you said, she's a spitfire, and she will she is just a ball of fun.
She is. Okay, my dear, thank you again. And we'll chat, I'm sure, after the show. And you just have a wonderful evening, okay? And thanks again for everyone joining us. Thanks. And I hope you enjoyed the show. You guys have a good evening. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.